The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Today, it is a very different show. Today's show is all about you and listening to you. Hearing the voice of people that are never heard from. I want to start with something that I read Phil frickin' Donahue say. I haven't heard anything that man has ever said that I went, that should be everywhere. Until I heard him chastise the media, and I thought, he's exactly right. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Phil Donahue said earlier this week, he was talking to the media, and he said the best thing the media can do is start listening. He said, in particular, people need to listen to the angry Trump voter. I love that. Listen to the angry Trump voter. How many people in America are angry? I would say, I don't know, 90%. We need to start listening, no matter who they voted for, to the people who feel disenfranchised, who feel oppressed, and not because of their gender, not because of something that happened to their great-great-grandfather, not because they can't afford school, but people who actually feel oppressed because their voice is never heard and there isn't anybody really representing them. And they've tried, and they've tried to live a decent life, and they've tried to be a good person. They've tried to play by the rules, and now those rules are being turned upside down, and they're going, wait, what have I done? That's going to get worse as pensions start to go down. You've worked your whole life. Your union and your politicians told you your pension's going to be fine. And they kept promising more and more. And you paid. You paid into that. And you trusted. And now if you live in places like Illinois, the entire state budget is taken up by the pensions. That's not going to work. It's not going to happen. How are those people going to feel? How are you going to feel? My pension, if you will, the only thing I've ever paid into is Social Security. When I was 8, I knew I was not going to get a Social Security payment. The math doesn't work. An 8th grader can figure that out. I've never counted on my Social Security, but boy, my parents did. And it screwed them at the end of the life. And that's when it was still, quote, working. You know, I live a really weird life, a really weird life. I have done radio since I was 13 years old. This little piece of now aluminum, I used to describe it as my best friend because it never rejected me. It never judged me. I could say anything to it. In some ways, this radio program is a therapy session for me because I think out loud. Gets me in trouble a lot. I say the things that I'm thinking, and my staff knows when we're writing a book or I'm working like I am now, working on some theories. I will say the same thing over and over and over again, but it will be slightly different every time because I'm thinking it through. And in that process, I found you. I did top 40 radio most of my life, and I was pretending. I would watch radio shows from all over the country and listen to radio shows, and I would emulate, I would make it into a formula, I would write, and I would spit out lines and play the hits. That's great. And I hated it back in the 90s. I was done because it was fake. And then I started saying some risky things, trying to destroy my career. And I found my career because I wasn't saying risky things to say risky things. I was just telling you how I really felt. And I found you. And I found there are millions of people that feel exactly like I do. But we never say it out loud because we feel alone. You have inspired me. You are the best, and I mean this sincerely, you are the best group of people I have ever met. I will put you up against the greatest flock of church people, the greatest flock of environmentalists. I'll put you against anyone. And you will be there, quiet, humble, kind, serving each other, serving others. And then when we all leave, the place will be cleaner than it was before. I think I've actually been with you and somebody has a lawnmower in their purse because the lawn seemed to be mowed after we leave. I've always said, after 9/11, and I don't know what made me say this, but I know it to be true. This audience is going to be the audience that historians and time will remember as the key, as the group of people that turned the corner in the darkest of nights and saved freedom. I don't know how that happens. My life has become this weird thing where I can't trust anybody. Tanya recently has banned all new people and non-family members from our house. And it's like, I've seen my wife's heart harden in the last year. And I hate it. I had a business person come up to me in my company the other day, about 3 weeks ago, said, Glenn, you can't change who you are. I'm a really trusting guy. You know this from interviews. I usually like everybody the first time I meet them. I love them. Al Sharpton, I liked him. And then I met him more than once, and I'm like, okay, I can see the good in you, and you can't see the good in you, Al. You've become this guy who's just, there's good in you. And you've traded that good because you don't believe in it enough. You don't think you're powerful enough, and so you've traded it. I haven't been able to travel the country and be with you. You know, we used to do, 40 nights on the road every year, 50 nights on the road. Sometimes twice a year we would do it. And I loved meeting you and being close to you because I could hear you. We don't take phone calls usually on this program. Rarely. That has to change. I believe in you. But I haven't been good at listening to you. I learned this from my wife. I'll come home and she'll say, oh, my day, blah, blah, blah. And then the kids at school and then this happened. And then I had to go here and I'll listen. And then I'll be like, you know, halfway through, I'll be like, you know what, honey, you know, what we need to do. We need to do blah, 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 blah. And she just looks at me like, what the hell are you doing? And then now, because I mean, I'm an expert in marriage. I've been married twice. Okay. I have twice the experience with women. So trust me, I know. And what I realized is men try to solve things. Women don't want you to solve it. Just listen to me. My job is to try to solve things. To tell you what things mean. And in trying to do that, I've failed to listen. So today I want to listen to you. And here's what I really want to know from you now. I want to know what's changed in your life since 2006. Has your life gotten better? Your life gotten worse? Do you feel more informed, less informed? Is there anybody or anything that you trust anymore? Who are the people that you trust? Where do you find hope? What are you feeling about social media? Is there anywhere that you go that you feel like, now I'm with friends? I asked this on Facebook a couple of nights ago, some of these questions and more. I'd like you to go read, but I'd really like you to post. Mac Ryan wrote, he said, I feel like somebody whose opinion doesn't matter. I'm 27. I'm a conservative in Austin. I'm a Christian. It's been very difficult to find and hold down a job that's sustainable. I battled pretty bad depression on a constant basis since I was 12. I came to faith in the spring of 2012. Best decision I've ever made. However, there are things that haven't been so great for me health-wise. When I was financially able to, I would donate my paycheck every 2 weeks to the Nazarene Fund. You know how many people in this audience I hear things like that from? People who serve and sacrifice beyond ways that I even understand. If war truly breaks out, I will fight for my faith, I will fight for my country, but I've lost friends, not physically. My father and I now don't talk at all. I'm really introverted. Being conservative here in Austin is extremely difficult. The city is a liberal's paradise. I guess I'll be moving soon. As far as trusting the media, I don't, for the most part. That's the kind of story that I'm hearing over and over again. And the other thread that I'm hearing every single time, I can't afford my health insurance anymore. 888-727-BECK. I want to know about your life, what the downward pressure is, because in the second hour, I will ask you, what can I do to help you? I also want to ask you a couple of other questions that I think America needs to answer, at least this audience. I need to hear the answer. When we come back, our sponsor this half hour is the USCCA. Now, that's the United States Concealed Carry Association. It's ending the month of June by giving away a different gun every single day. Today, somebody's going to win the gun of their choice. Totally sweet. Matthew, real quick. Matthew's one of our guys on staff. Which gun would you buy if you could buy any gun that you wanted? New Glock. It's not just one gun, by the way. Giving away today, triple the chances to win, because today they're giving away three guns. In fact, today they're giving away three brand new 911s. Which 911 is it? Today it's Rock River Arms Polyworth. It's Poly, worth a whopping $920. It's called Poly because of the polymer frame, which means it's made to last. Want a new 911? Today is the day. Three chances to win. They will disappear at midnight. Go to protectanddefend.com right now for the official rules. Get entered to win the 911 right now. It's at protectanddefend.com. Protectanddefend.com. New winners every day this week. It all ends June 30th at midnight.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK is our phone number. Taking wall-to-wall calls today. I want to hear from you in Virginia. It's Mary. Hello, Mary.
Glenn, I'm so thankful for what you do.
Thank you. Tell me about what's happening in your life and how it's changed since 2006.
Well, you know, I was telling your call screener that this year our insurance premium now through my husband's employer is costing us more per month than any mortgage payment we've had throughout the course of our 28-year marriage.
Jeez.
And we can't go to a lower plan. I have an adult daughter who has bipolar disorder and Asperger's. I have another child who has juvenile arthritis, and I have another child who has epilepsy.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, between medication costs, we have to be on a higher plan, because I will tell you that drugs for kids who have epilepsy and kids who have bipolar disorder are not cheap. And so,
I have a daughter with epilepsy. She has cerebral palsy, and she went in because we had to change our insurance. I have always tried to do the best insurance for my company and pay for all of it. And the best insurance that we could come up with this time, they said they won't cover the doctor's prescription for epilepsy. And she's standing at the CVS. She's like, what do they mean? Wait, what? And it was like $2,000 or $3,000 for a month. And it's crazy. It's nuts.
Well, you know, if we had a free market system, they wouldn't be able to charge that. They would have to charge something reasonable that people could afford. But I can't get through to people to help them understand that if we had a free market system, that companies wouldn't charge that because they'd have to have people buy their products.
So, Mary,
it's so distorted.
How can I help you? In my job, how can I help you?
Honestly, the thing that I was very excited about that you were talking about doing with your network, and I haven't heard anything more about it, were the children's entertaining historical programs. Because our kids need to learn this. I mean, I'm homeschooling my kids. But we need something that gets kids hooked and interested so that they can learn about this. Because, unfortunately, I'm in my late 40s. I'm going to do everything I can, but it's up to the next generation to help fix the mess that we've caused. And they can't do it if they don't know it.
Mary, you're going to like... the direction that we're going, and some things that I'm not going to announce before we are doing them, because I think people are sick of hearing me talk about things and then they don't happen or whatever. And we're working on some things now that when they happen, I'm going to be announcing, and I hope to be able to do that by September, after this summer, because we are working our brains out now. And you're going to like that because I have heard you on that. Because as a dad, I am in exactly the same position. Back in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Kimberly wrote in, "Why is the floor always given to those that push hatred and vengeance? It's the same group of 10 people from both sides. Stop giving these professional politicians press time. Talk to the American people, Glenn, please. Give us some camera time. The people who want to come together and build bridges based on our commonalities. We're out here. I realize there's more sensationalism out there talking about snowflakes or whatever, but we're out there. Sean, I want to believe we're not past the point of return, but you have to wonder if we're not just ready for a giant reset. The world has gotten a little too big for its britches, forgotten who we really were. Few seem concerned." Amy Kipping wrote, "I wish more people were willing to look within and make a change before pointing fingers. I realize my own hypocrisy in saying that. I love what you're doing, Glenn. Keep up the good work." "I'm 53 years old. I've lived on the California coast of California my entire life. It is the most beautiful place to live and work." Man, I'm in California this week. I couldn't agree more. California is the most beautiful state in the nation. It is spectacular. But I have to share sometime with you, maybe tomorrow, something I wrote about California the other day, just in my journal, because I love this state. This is where I always wanted to live. You couldn't pay me enough to live here now. And it is sad what's happening. This person writes in, "I'm 53. I've lived in Central Coast of California's most beautiful place to live and work, yet I can't wait to move out of this crazy state. Liberty is declining at a rapid pace. Socialism is embraced. I'm done. I'm done fighting and fighting the system." Tony Parsons, "I own a veterinary clinic. My health insurance just keeps going up and up. But I have to survive. I just don't have a clue anymore what a father of six can do. I coach my kids' sports teams. I lead scouts. I volunteer in 4-H. I'm trying to help my own community, my small community. We're trying to change things. But the politicians in Washington don't have a clue about my fears and worries. I can't change them. I don't know what to do." Let me go to Gordon in New York. Hello, Gordon.
Hey, Glenn. Hi, Glenn. Hey. Thanks.
Thank you.
We're being crushed here in New York State. Not just small business owners like me and my wife. Anyone who's trying to buy a home, trying to have any sort of upward mobility, try to save money. And it's not just the school taxes and the property taxes. They go up every year. If you own a business, the workers' comp, the disability, the unemployment insurance. And if you don't do it just right the way they want, you're going to get a letter telling you that you owe the state $20,000 in workers' comp because you didn't file a piece of paper at the right time. It's unbelievable.
Gordon, this is happening all over the country. What are you doing? How are you surviving?
My wife has to not only work her job or her business that she owns. She works 30 or 40 hours a week. She has to keep her corporate job to keep our health insurance. If we have three kids, if we didn't have the health insurance, we wouldn't be able to afford health insurance. We started looking when the Obamacare first came out and it didn't look too bad. We go back every 6 months and there's less people, less insurers. It costs more money. So we would just right now we just have to keep going and hoping something changes.
Was this
better? But
Was this the case before Obamacare? Were you struggling with insurance before, like you are now?
No, because there was more options, and that we could have, if we couldn't afford it, there was more affordable options that we could have gotten into. Since Obama, I wasn't living. I moved back here in New York in 2009, and I was a liberal then, and I kind of started getting the feeling that these guys are going to turn me into a conservative, and that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. I tried. My first business was I wanted to buy cheese from small cheesemakers in New York State, and I would take it down to New York City and sell it. I had agriculture department come out, and he was listening to you. He listened to Glenn Beck at the time because he was pretty right wing, and I didn't understand it. And he told me how ridiculous this was, but I had to become a superintendent of a dairy processing facility. And there was a stack of paperwork, probably 20 pages long, for me to be able to slice cheese in my commercial kitchen and resell it to people. And then he told me how to get around it. And that was just the beginning. And we've moved on since then. We've been successful. But if it wasn't for me having a strong family, a good mom and dad, good in-laws, a tenacious wife, we would have given up long ago. I would have went back to the mainstream workforce, never saw my kids. Never got to go to baseball games, never got to go to basketball games. So it's just, it's a constant struggle, and you're always worrying, when's this going to come to an end? It's only going to take one thing for all this to come crashing down, and we won't have any more customers coming in.
Gordon, what can I do in my job that will make your life easier?
Spend maybe just a little time here and there going through all these little regulations, the thousand straws in the camel's back, and just picking it apart and seeing how this one little regulation affects everybody. It makes everything more expensive. It's not really doing anything to keep New Yorkers safer or to make their lives better.
When you have the inspector telling you how to avoid it, that's pretty bad.
When I started, I had a hydroponic shop before we opened this business. I had to have a license to grow seeds and sell them, plants. I had to have a license because I sold compost products. That's $20 a year. I had to. It's not the money. It's just the fact that they come in and tell you need to do all this stuff. And what's it helping? Who's it helping? It's helping the state generate income. And that's it.
Gordon, thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate it. You know, the last caller kind of said similar things. But she was talking about health insurance and the free market. We haven't had a free market system for 100 years. And he's exactly right. Gordon hit it right between the eyes. It's to help the state make money. But it is also now to a point to where it's discouraging people from actually going out and earning a living by pursuing their dreams. Instead, just keep going back to the plant. Just go back to the plant. Just go back to the plant. Let me show you how the free market system actually works. LASIK eye surgery. LASIK eye surgery in 2013 cost $2,500. It was 4 years ago. Cost $2,500. I know so many people that have had LASIK eye surgery, don't have to wear contacts, don't have to wear glasses. It's fantastic. But it has never been covered by insurance programs. It's never been covered by Medicare. So you couldn't get it unless you went to the free market. 4 years ago, as the price of healthcare has gone through the roof and insurance has increased by 140%, how much is LASIK eye surgery today? $300. Why? Because it had to compete for the dollars. It had to compete to get your business. It had to find a way to make it cheaper and better so you could take that money out of your pocket. It's not looking at just being soaked and I could charge whatever because it's just going to the insurance company. Who cares? Insurance pays for it. I don't care what it costs. You had to pull it out of your pocket, and the free market system was allowed to work. You want to reduce the price of insurance. You want to reduce the price of medical care. You do the same thing that Sony did. When Sony came out with their first flat screen, high definition television, it was $10,000. I can now buy the same television, better technology, made by a company I've never even heard of, for about $300 in Costco. Why? The same reason LASIK eye surgery is now $300, where 4 years ago, it was $2,500. When everything is going up, can we ask the geniuses in Washington, why did LASIK eye surgery go down? Now this, I want to tell you Antonio's story. Antonio's a guy who went to realestateagentsitrust.com, and that soon as he gave the information, his agent was on the way to meet him. The first weekend, Antonio had four visits lined up. On Tuesday, Antonio had an offer for his home. That's the way it should be. Look, everything that we do in my company, I read this great book. It's called Friction. You have to read it if you're running a company. It will just open your eyes and you'll just start to go, how have I been so stupid? Capitalism is almost a charity. It's the greatest charity in the world if it's done right. If you understand that what you do to make money is serve people and make their life better. Once you get that, you're making money while you're helping people. Real estate agents I trust, what are they doing? They're trying to remove the friction. They're trying to remove the scumbags. They're trying to remove the excuses. They're trying to sell your home or help you buy a new one. There are 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you, where their bond is their word. A handshake means something. They're fully vetted and handpicked by my team for their knowledge, their skill, and their track record. And thousands of families have already put the agents to the test. You do it. You don't have to test them. You can listen to the testimonials of people like Antonio. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Put them and test the results. Sell your home on time and for the most money right now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go to Jim in Virginia. Jim, how has your life changed since 2006?
Well, what I've tried to do is just focus more on charitable giving and helping those that are struggling. And that's what I appreciate about your work through Mercury One. Years ago, you know, the church did most of that work, and the government has taken that away from us. But I like that through Mercury One, you're working with charitable organizations to go in and help people that are in need and building back homes and doing things that you can, to, especially in disaster relief. And my family's gotten involved with a local group here that's a Christian-based disaster relief organization called God's Pit Crew that goes around into these areas that have been devastated by disasters, and they work helping restore and rebuild people's homes and churches, and it's just a fulfilling work.
How has that changed you, or how has that affected you?
Well, it's given me a closer walk with Christ, one, because I feel like I'm doing his work. You know, if when you go into these places where people have lost everything, and you can give something back to them, and, you know, the looks on their faces and how thankful they are for the work that we've done for them, actually, they don't realize that it's kind of selfish on my part, because I feel like I'm getting more out of it than they are.
I know.
Because Jim, I'm able to help them and give something back to them.
Jim, thank you very much. That is one thing that we seem to always forget, and that's what service gives back, and it's gratitude. Grace, in Pennsylvania, how's your life changed since 2006?
Well, I'm 26 years old, so I've gone to college, graduated, gotten a job, and gotten married.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that's helped change my life and really bring perspective is that relationship with Christ, like the last caller was talking about. And I just want to say, you always talk, it seems like you focus sometimes on the negative, and I just wanted to help encourage you as well, because there are a lot of good things going on in the world, and you have been really family to a lot of us out here. Very conservative and very focused on my faith, and there aren't a lot of voices that I can go to and hear talking about the politics and the faith and just being a good person and being consistent. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, Grace. Thank you. Inspiring to hear somebody's 26 years old and listening and active and working hard. Thank you so much, Grace. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You bet. Bye-bye. I will tell you that Mercury One started an intern program, and we could really use your help at Mercury One. That is something that is all reliant on you, and we would sure appreciate your donation at MercuryOne.org. But we have started a leadership program with David Barton, and the millennials that are coming through our door are truly remarkable, truly, truly remarkable, and we're going to continue to introduce you to them all through the summer, and you'll want to help and be involved for the next generation. MercuryOne.org.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. I asked a couple of days ago on Facebook, tell me about your life. Tell me what's happening. Tell me how I can help. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what you've learned. I want to read this response. And I'm taking your phone calls today, and I want to hear you. This hour, I have a few questions that I would like you to answer for me. But I want to start with this post from Facebook, from Nicole Foster. She writes, I'm the daughter of a proud, self-proclaimed, Trump-hating, P-hat-wearing, resist activist that hates guns. We're still friends, I think. We're a country where a daughter says about her mother, we're still friends, I think. I'm not being mean, she writes. She'll be the first one to say, yep, I'm not sure. Over politics. I had a question asked of me yesterday Liberal Central, Hollywood, USA. And I couldn't have disagreed with this person more, because I could hear the doubt in their mind. I want to tell you about it and then talk to you. 888-727-BECK. We begin right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have one. I will be my jump. I have fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I've been doing a lot of thinking about you lately, and nobody's listening anymore, and I need to take more phone calls. I really need to go on tour. We had a tour planned this summer, and as we were planning it, it got more and more expensive. The price of everything has gone up, and so then we started looking at the price of tickets, and I'm like, I don't want to charge people money. I just want to go and see people. And so I need to take more phone calls. I need to listen to you more. But I want to ask you to focus on a couple of things. First, what's happening in your life? What are the friction points in your life? What are the things that are causing you time and trouble and worry that you don't need to spend that time on? How can I help you? One of the things that I'm working on is reducing the chaos in your life and mine. I will tell you that there have been a couple of times in the last, well, probably 2 months, that I have brought up a story and Pat or Stu or the producer, somebody in the room will say, "What the hell is that story?" And they're not like, "Did you hear about the guy in Kansas?" It's a national story and a big one. You know, the press used to be, they used to say in PR, you know what? There's a scandal. There's a problem. Okay, we got to get out in front of this. Okay, here's what our plan is. Here's what we're going to do. You can't even get your PR department on the phone before the next scandal or the next big news hits. Now the strategy is just shut up. Everybody will forget about it in about 3 minutes. Because every day there's something huge. My wife says to me several times, maybe 3 times a year, we'll have some quiet time to where we're finished talking about all the, you know, stuff in the world, or I mean, stuff in our world, you know, the what are we doing with school? How are we going to afford this? What about insurance? What about this? And finally, we just have a time to breathe. And it usually happens in the car on a long car ride. And it's quiet. And then she'll say, "Honey, so what's happening? I feel really stupid even asking, but what's happening with North Korea?" My wife is really intelligent. My wife lives with me, which doesn't help on the intelligence argument, I know, but she's married to me. And so she's around people talking about things like North Korea. She hears it. She sees it. The thing is she's got a life. My life is about trying to make sense of the world. Her life is about trying to make sense of our world. Everything is so chaotic. There's 1,000 stories and they all seem disconnected. And they're coming at you. And you don't even know what they are, let alone how to argue. How to make sense of your... How many genders are there? There's 2! There's 2, but society now will tell you that there's 92. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because I'm a white male and I'm trying to keep people oppressed. No. Are the cops, are they good or bad? We're being convinced now that our cops are bad. They're both good and bad. Because people are both good and bad. But who do you trust? Do you trust the cops? Well, if you're a black family, and I learned this back in the 80s, I don't want to say it's like this now. I hope it's not like this now. But in the 80s, I lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'll never forget the first weekend I was there, I turned on the local news and they were talking about how these 2 cops had just been reprimanded or whatever happened to them because in the back of their police cruiser, they had their Klan outfits. And, of course, police should not have their Klan outfits. If they want to do that, you know, in their own time, they should have their Klan outfits in their own trunk, not in the trunk of their police cruiser. Are you kidding me? I remember thinking, wait, the Klan is like still operating? I couldn't even believe it. And I understood then, wait a minute. If that's the way I grew up and I'm a black family and the police is they're in the news with Klan outfits in the trunk, I'm not telling my kids, oh, you could trust the cops. I'm not telling them that. However, the other side is absolutely true as well, that not every cop is like that. The majority of cops are good. It may not even be the majority of the cops in your town or your area, but that we need to know about and we need to correct. Because people are good. You trust the cops? Do you trust the bank? Is there anybody on television that you trust? Bill frickin' Cosby! Bill Cosby! The worst thing I knew about Bill Cosby is he had absolutely no taste in sweaters. That's the worst thing we could have said about him. Everything is equal, unless it's from the West, unless it has anything to do with Christianity. Then the most violent people, the worst people who are saying they're being directed by Allah to go kill. No, they're oppressed and you haven't taken time to understand them. And it's because, do you know what Christianity did in the year 800? No, but I'm pretty sure it's not what we're doing now. In universities, they're teaching that there is no such thing as truth that you can know. And now I look, I've wanted to send my kids to good universities for most of my life. My whole thing has been make enough money to send my kids to a great university. Give them the opportunity that I didn't have. No. Not anymore. Yesterday, I was sitting in a meeting with, you know, Hollywood royalty, sincerely. And we were talking about, do people even care? Do people on either side want to come together? And I was making the case, yes, they do. And I said, but you have to understand that some of the language you use pisses people off. And we have to understand that some of the things we say piss you off. But it's because we are speaking a different language and we talk about liberty and the Constitution and the freedom of man. And we believe in all of those things. But you don't think we do. You see liberty through the eyes of oppression. You see liberty as being an end of oppression. Stop oppression. Instead of free people, instead of let's make sure that every man, woman, and child are free to pursue happiness, and that we take the things that make people free and more free than ever before, like the Constitution, and uphold those values. You want to talk about oppression. And I understand it. But we have to come to grips with the difference and how those words make everybody feel. Because we're not listening to each other. And then they started talking about a Hollywood powerhouse. I mean, a very popular female celebrity powerhouse. And somebody at the table said, without even recognizing it, well, she's part of an oppressed class. Blood almost shot out of my eyes. Wait, hold it. The woman who is rich is powerful, who is on television, who is speaking her mind, who is saying all of these things, she's oppressed? The question is, do we want to get better, or do we just want to destroy everything? Do we think that this is just needs to be all torn down and there's nothing of value that the Western world has brought? That the greatest example of love and service and charity, that the ideals of that man is what our entire society is based on. And we have gone away from those ideals, and we're going further and further away from those ideals the more we reject not the God figure, but the man, Jesus. Forget the God stuff. Just as a man, who doesn't want to be more like that? Who says we should get rid of that guy in society? And yet we're doing it. And we're talking about oppression, and we're not talking about what is it going to be replaced with. It's an insult to those people in Venezuela who are truly oppressed today. It is an insult to those people in Cuba that are truly oppressed today. Those in Iran, those in North Korea. Oh, how they would sing praises to God forever to be oppressed like any of us, let alone the celebrity who is part of that oppressed class. Here's what I want to know from you. Do you want to be a part of a family that doesn't talk anymore because of politics? Do you want to not be able to talk to your coworkers? Do you want to have this divide and believe the worst in other people? Or do you want to try to solve that? I'm not talking about solve our political differences. I don't know how to solve those. Everybody in Washington is insane. I would just like to be able to go to Thanksgiving and be able to speak to my family members and not be hating. I like the friends that I had. I'd like them back. Do you want that? I'm not asking you if you think it's possible. I'm asking, do you want that? It's not what we know we can do that has ever made us great. It's what we believe we can do. We've become pathologically ungrateful. Can we be grateful for what we have right now? And then say, I don't know if we can do it, but I'm going to die trying. My face is going to be marred with sweat and blood and tears and dirt from getting kicked into the dirt all the time. That is what it meant to be an American. Not success. I'm going to die trying. Do you want that? Do you want to try and heal? Or are you done? No judgment. I just want to know. Here is our sponsor this half hour. Looking to spruce up your home this summer? It is Blinds.com. Have you looked at your blinds? Because I looked at mine and they're not so good. Blinds.com. The customer service is absolutely the best. And you need it for a joke like me who is, getting online and looking at stuff. And I have no idea. I don't know what it's going to look like on my windows. Blinds.com has the app that you can go and take the curtains or the blinds, put them on your windows, take a picture of your windows, take them, drag them and drop them and say, okay, that's what that looks. I want to change the color. I want to change the blinds to wood, whatever it is. And you can actually see what the room looks like. And I will tell you that it doesn't do it justice, because once you get them in, it looks 100 times better than it even did in the photograph. This is what Tanya and I did to our bedroom, and our bedroom, it totally transformed it. And at least in my house, the bedroom is the last thing to get anything done to it. It's like, whatever. Nobody's seeing it except us. We finally, as a present to my wife, finally did the bedroom, and it transformed it with Blinds.com. And when we got stuck, which was right away because I'm a dummy, we went right to their customer service and said we needed a designer to help us with it, and they were on the phone literally within a half hour. Blinds.com. Blinds.com, huge sale now through July 6th. Huge site-wide savings at Blinds.com. Plus, you'll save an additional 5% with the promo code Beck. One of their biggest sales of the entire year. It's Blinds.com, promo code Beck. Get an additional 5% off their site for everything on their site at Blinds.com, promo code Beck. Rules and restrictions do apply. It's Blinds.com, promo code Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Let me go to let's go to Dan in New York. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
I'm very good.
Hey, thanks for doing this and letting us have a chance to talk to you directly. It's my first time ever getting a chance to talk to you, and it's a privilege. And I just want to say what you've talked about. I've listened to you since 2004. You just remind me so much of my dad, what he said, and what your consistency is in your values and your principles. And that really has made it a lot better to, you know, go to a source and have somebody to, you know, kind of get that information from.
Well, let me share something that your dad might have said to you that I know my dad said a lot. Get the hell out of the bathroom! What are you doing in there all day? Get the hell out of the bathroom. I'll never forget that when I was a kid, and I wanted to share that and bring that memory back to you, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Well, in our family, it's very true because I have 7 brothers and sisters, and then one of them is a twin brother. So that was very true. And he was brought up in the Great Depression, was in World War II, and he talked about all this economic stuff you've been discussing for a long time before because of the lessons that they learned from the Great Depression of, you know, how to spend, how not to spend, how to pay attention to things, how to have savings.
Dan, I tell you, you and I grew up in a very similar household. I got that from my grandparents, not so much from my folks, but my grandparents were like that. Will you hang on just a second? Because you're a pharmacy salesperson, and we've talked a lot about insurance costs, and I want to hear your perspective when we come back. And your phone call, 888-727-BECK.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Today we're doing something rather different for my program and need to do more of. We're going to start taking your phone calls more, but I want to hear from you. I want to hear how your life has changed since 2006, what the downward pressure is on your life, things that, you know, maybe that we can help take off of your plate. How can we serve you? And I also want to know, do you want to solve this? Do you want to, do you believe it's just too late and nobody's going to change and so it's war and the war is on? Or do you want to find a way back to each other? I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about being able to speak to each other and be kind to each other. And who cares how somebody else votes? Why is the presidency for the last 8 years and now this the definition of who we are as people? Let me go to Dan in New York. Hello, Dan. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Okay. So you're a pharmacy salesperson.
A pharmaceutical sales.
Okay. Tell me how your life has changed in the last, since 2006.
Well, I actually started in 2004. I got that job in 4 weeks with zero experience. The next job, because that was a contract job, I got the next job with a major international big company. I got that job in 4 weeks. 2011, they had some layoffs, and then 2012, they had more layoffs, 700 people. Salesforce was laid up between 2011 and 2012. And I've had some contract jobs. I have one now, but it's this regulations. Everybody talks about, oh, it's just this little thing here, and it's just this little thing here. Let's demonize this group versus that group. And it's one of the things they had was called the Sunshine Act, and that was doctors have to divulge everything that you bring them for lunch. I can bring them a turkey sandwich and they have to divulge that. And it has to be public on the internet for the public to look at. Offices stop doing lunches. Not all of them, but a lot of them, because they're like, I don't want to do this reporting, and I don't think that's great for them to know if I got a turkey sandwich for lunch from the pharmaceutical rep to talk about the product. And that's changed the industry a lot, because now the industry, every time you go on an interview, they say, well, how are you going to get access to the doctor? How are you going to get them to see you? And in some ways, you can do some things, and if you have some relationships, but really, overall, it's just it's not going to work. It doesn't happen the way they say it. Well, a few percent of people will get that access because they know them for a long time or know somebody who knows somebody, but these regulations just muffle the industry itself.
Well, good, you evil pharmaceutical people.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I say, I always separate myself and say, I'm who I am. I should be judged as myself, not just as an umbrella, just like nobody, you know, lawyers, doctors, any other group doesn't want to be judged as the whole group. You know, I was always brought up, you get judged by who you are individually, what you do so, right, what you don't do.
So Dan, why were there big layoffs with Obamacare? You would think everybody's getting rich and more drugs are being sold. And
yeah, and I can, well, here's a great insight. This is what people need to know if they don't. And when you know something in the industry, it really helps you communicate that other people, or at least if the message can get out there. And I sold an ADHD drug. It was the first liquid drug ever. And it was fantastic. Doctors loved it. It was great for kids. You don't have to sprinkle it on in the breakfast, and however people feel about that, you know, can be a separate thing. But here's this great new drug. The insurance companies would not give it good approval. Within 1 year, they laid off 20% of the sales force. And next year, which I was a part of, they laid off another 30%. And then the contract ended the third year because they couldn't get enough insurance coverage. Even though the doctors loved it, it was a better drug. It lasted 12 hours versus most drugs last about 7 or 8 in that category, because I've sold another drug before that. And it's like, why wouldn't you give the best product out there? Like you were just talking about the TV, right? Why would you drive a 1960s car today if you can drive a newer car, if that's the choice you want?
Well, you'd have to ask Cuba, and that's kind of where we're going with everything. So how have sales of drugs, have they increased or decreased?
Well, here's the thing I'm seeing, and I actually do a meetup group once a week that we talk about when we invest in growth stocks, and we're trying to teach ourselves the skills so we can get ahead of things economically and teach us something outside our own jobs. And what's happened is the biotech is separate from pharma, as how you think of it scientifically. Mm-hmm. Biotech is very specific. It's cancer. It's something far advanced for the technology, yes, like internet and all that. Pharma stuff is, they call it just primary care. Those sales aren't that great because those drugs are ending. The patents are ending. It's harder for them to go in and then reinvest money. So we're going to create a brand new drug in that category.
Right, right.
So it's getting better for the people that have cancer and those treatments, but that's a very small. You would have 100 sales force for biotech versus maybe 500-700 for primary care. So people can say that's getting better for the patients, which it is for specifically cancer and very important diseases. But as a sales force goes and as employment goes for pharmaceutical overall, it's very small.
Dan, thank you very much for your phone call. Are you less optimistic or more optimistic than you were in 2006?
On the outside, like job stuff like that, not as much, but on the inside, what you've taught us, what I've taught myself and done my own homework, I'm out there speaking on things like Common Core, my school meetings, budget meetings for the pensions, and I bring up things and they give you the double take if you really know what you're talking about. And thank you for doing the interview with Daniel Booth. That really helped. Right when you had that interview, I had a school meeting. I asked him about the discount rate and pensions and how are they going to be funded, and one of the person that helps with the presentation for the school is a CPA, because he takes more technical questions. He twice said to me, he goes, New York State is fine. There's no problems. We don't want to talk about this. Like you could just tell he didn't want to get into the, you know, the soup, you know,
right,
the nuts
right.
and bolts. And my nephew listened to that. I got him to listen to the interview and my twin brother to listen to that interview. And
right.
Both of them.
And
both their eyes.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for going out every day and fighting. I appreciate it. Let me go to Sean. Also in New York. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Glenn. Hi. I'm a 21-year-old college student. I go to the University of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that there's so much hope for our future. Just, I've got maybe like 20 good friends out there who are all good young conservatives following Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're going to be the leaders of the future. And I just think there's so much hope to look for or to look forward to.
So this is interesting because you're in, where in New York are you?
I'm in Bethlehem, New York right now.
Okay.
That's like outside of Albany.
All right. So you're in New York State and you're a college student and you have optimism for your generation, even though your generation is running towards Marxism.
I do, because I mean, there are a lot of younger people that run towards that, but that's because, at least from talking to them, they really don't know what capitalism is and they just don't understand it, but they really want to help other people. But like where I go to school, most of my friends are not Marxists. They're capitalists or they're conservative and they just try and follow Christ and they try and do what's right. So they just need to be guided in the right direction, maybe. But I do think there is a lot of hope.
Sean, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I don't know which was more impressive, a virgin birth in Bethlehem or a conservative that's going to a university and saying there's lots of conservatives on campus. I don't know which one was more rare. Let me go to Felicia in Colorado. Hello, Felicia.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. I love you.
Sure.
I love you guys. You've completely changed my outlook on life. But I wanted to share that I'm a lifelong diabetic, and I got sick in 2008, and I had great medical care. I was getting better. Worked for the same company for 26 years. They had to comply with Obamacare, so they changed our insurance. It was affordable before that, but then we had to do the cattle march. It's profiling. They take your vitals. If you're a smoker, you have to pay more. If you have high blood pressure, you pay more, et cetera, et cetera. Then the company I worked for laid over 700 people off here in Colorado and moved our jobs to Poland, and part of that was the overhead cost because of Obamacare. And, you know, of course, taxes, et cetera, but I don't want to stray from that. But then I got laid off on April 1st, 2015. I fell off my porch on April 2nd, 2015. No insurance, no job. Then I, May 9th, which is about a month after I had injured my knee, but I didn't know it because it was dormant, and I got this horrible infection. Didn't go to the doctor for like 3 weeks because I was afraid because I had no money. I couldn't get Medicaid because they base it off of your previous year income.
Felicia, what are you, how can we help you and people like you? What can I do to help you?
You need to keep the message of truth out there because truth and facts are like a cancer to the Democrats and the liberals. They you know, they're like people that know they have cancer but just don't go get care. They just, until it gets worse and worse. And I've been a registered Democrat since 1988, and I've not voted along party lines since after 9/11. But you've always been right, and that's what I've told people, is that even when Glenn was on Fox, he knew what was going on, and I try to get people to do that. But you need to just keep the message going, and I know that sometimes that you get, frustrated.
We all do.
I hear you're like, you know, I'm not going to just do that anymore, but you guys have to just stay strong, and I'm one of your soldiers. I mean, I go out there, and I'm trying to be less toxic myself, you know, because I blog, and I'm a heavy Facebook user, and
Felicia, let me ask you this, because you say you're out there and you're trying to be less toxic. Do you want to keep this fighting the way we're doing it, or do you think that we've got to change?
Here's the thing, is that we are the change makers. But the most difficult part is like what you were saying the other day, is that as long as the resistors are going to be never Trumpster, never Trump, I'm never going to listen to anybody else, that's the barrier. That's the problem, and that's what I can't figure out, how to get people to listen, because they say they want to work with others, but they don't. And I'm changing the way that I get that message across. I'm trying to, you know, not a pro, you know, you do it over and over expecting a different result, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's like a woman who does a restraining order that doesn't really work until she's hurt or killed. They have to experience it. And I was, this whole thing with Scalise, I just can't even believe that they're, you know, hunt Republicans and all this stuff. It's like, I mean, you need to just keep coaching us on how we try, you know, how we can figure out if there are resistors out there, that there is a glimmer of hope of maybe come 50-50, you know. We have to, there has to be compromise on both sides, and I get really frustrated because my best friend is a Flamin Democrat, but I love her. I've known her since I was born, you know, but it gets frustrating at times, and especially because I know that I'm right, and that pisses them off, but whatever. <you know?
laughs> Felicia, thank you so much. I appreciate it. There's a lot. I may take the Felicia call and take it out and respond to a lot, because there's a lot in that call to examine and learn from. I appreciate your phone call, Felicia. I want to take two things that you said. One, I know we have to compromise. No, we have to live together. We have to live together. And so that means that there are things that you're going to disagree on, but you don't have to be nasty about it, even if they're nasty about it. And that goes to the other thing that you said that I wanted to point out. You know, keep pointing out if there's hope with the resistors. No, I don't think we should waste our time with the people who are alt-right, who are getting their news from Russia Today, and that is happening, that they believe insane things and really believe in the transformative power into some nationalist socialist state from the right. And I don't believe in the people who are the Antifa, the people who are burning things down at Berkeley. We're not going to make headway with them. Let's try to talk to the people who just disagree and want to live side by side. Now this, Casper, when'd you buy your mattress? Hard time remembering? That hard time remembering may be because you haven't had a good night's sleep in a while. With Casper, you're going to get a high-quality mattress at a more affordable price. And Casper will ship right to your door for free in a small little box that you are not going to believe there's a mattress in there. Believe me, do not cut it open until you're in your bedroom and the box is on the box spring or where your mattress needs to go. From the breakthrough design to superior quality to its packaging, they'll let you try it out for 100 nights. 100 nights. This is why Fast Company says 50 of the most innovative brands of 2017. Sleep on the mattress for 100 nights. If you don't love it, call them up. They'll refund every single dime, and they'll come and pick it up. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck. Casper.com, promo code Beck. Get $50 off the purchase of your mattress if you use the promo code Beck at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, I cannot wait to talk to Teresa. Teresa says, I feel like the female Pat Gray. Ooh, just that thought is really... With a beard and everything? I can't wait to talk to Teresa and your phone call next, 888-727-BECK, and some hard but hopeful medicine next.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I'm going to go right to Teresa in Idaho on line six. Hello, Teresa. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Tell me what's happening in your head.
Well, listening to you this morning, I started kind of going back to 2006. Really easy for me to remember. I was working for a company in Arizona that was moving up to Idaho. And I told them, no, I wouldn't come. No, I wasn't going to make the move. No. They kept throwing more money at me and everything. And I just kept saying no. And then they offered to pay for my medical. And I finally broke down and said yes, because who could resist that? So my family moved up to Idaho. We got here in March of 2006. And shortly after that, the company decided they couldn't afford to pay for my medical. So they cut it.
Holy cow.
Yes. Then they cut off employees, and then they started cutting off pay. And so the company was just going downhill. So I jumped ship, took a job with a company that was making less money. I did have benefits eventually through that company, but after a while, or actually once Obamacare hit, they stopped benefits.
Sure.
So we didn't have any.
So you say that you're now at a place to where you feel like, I don't even want to think of a male Pat Gray, but you feel like a female Pat Gray. What does
I
that
do.
Mean?
And this is even probably worse than him. Moving up here, there was a lot of prayer. There was a lot of a lot of prayer into it. And then I've stopped praying. I no longer feel like I'm being listened to, not only by my government, but by my God. But that is, I just feel helpless. And, you know, I've got a lot of very intelligent family members, graduated college, live in the LA area, and I can't even talk to them. I don't even, you know, because they go all intelligent on me, and I'm just your working class girl, that I'm ready to be done. You know what? Let them do their thing and let us do ours.
Teresa,
we all move to Texas?
I can so relate to that. Yesterday, I was just saying those same words. Let me give you some perspective beginning right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
What a great perspective from Teresa on how she feels. I'm trying to. I need to spend more time with you and just learn where you are and how you feel about things. And we're not that different. I'm in Los Angeles this week. I was in Hollywood all day yesterday. And we were talking about, I think it was global warming. And how it's not about the planet. It truly is about oppression. That's why they're not hitting China. China's far worse than we are. No, China's better. No, they're not. You go ahead. I'll take you up to Colorado and you drink out of any of the rivers up in Colorado or even go up to Cleveland, where they used to be able to set the Great Lake on fire. Drink out of that. And I'll take you to Beijing. I'll take you to Shanghai. Go ahead. Stick your hand. I'm not going to make you drink. Stick your hand in that water. No. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's part of me that just says, go ahead. Enjoy that. destroy everything that we have and then enjoy your oppression-free world when the West has been vanquished. But that's just human. That's natural man. And natural man, you know, let's be honest. If there were no women on the planet, I don't think I'd ever wear anything but boxer shorts and a t-shirt, probably with macaroni and cheese stuck to it. I mean, I would just be like, I'd be shoveling in my face, and if I spilled some, I'd look down and go, oh, I'll leave that there. I might want to eat that later. If there were no women, if there was no reason to be better and, you know, to be classy, we'd all be like, okay, here's the President of the United States for his State of the Union. Oh, I'm sorry. Just had some gas I had to let go. We wouldn't care. Cheryl McMurray wrote, I've listened to you, Glenn, for at least 6 or 7 years. The problem is I became so scared and so hopeless, I didn't know what to do. I still don't. I kept track of the predictions that you made. They keep coming true over and over again. I appreciate the fact that you tell us the truth. I just don't know how much more I can handle. I know. And that's exactly what people who want power are waiting for. For you to say, I don't have any hope. Just let them. That's how freedom is lost. Freedom, the way free people lose their freedom is they first lose hope. See, let me tell you some really, may I tell you some really hard news, knowing that there's good news on the other end of it. But here's the truth that no one will tell you. We keep waiting for somebody to save us on healthcare or whatever it is. Oh, the president's going to save us. The next president will fix this. Well, once we get Congress, the Democrats are saying, well, when we get Congress back, when we get a president back, we're going to be able to fix this. No one is coming to save you. There is no one that is going to solve this healthcare problem for you. I don't believe that most of them even understand the problem, let alone solve the problem. I sat in a room yesterday full of Hollywood liberals, and they said that we were getting ready to leave. And one of them said, I just have to ask you, what is your opinion on the healthcare thing? What is happening? And I said, we don't have anybody in Washington who actually cares about helping people. They're all getting rich through all kinds of backdoor deals. They're getting their healthcare, but nobody cares on either side. If they really cared, all we had to do is say, okay, where are the people really suffering? Let's make sure they're on Medicaid. Let's make sure they're on Medicare. You need to expand that for this group of people? Fine. Let's find a way to help the people at need. Now people are suffering all over the country because the healthcare insurance is going through the roof, the premiums. Why is that happening? It's easy. It's easy. Are they solving that? No. In fact, those were the two things that they needed to take out of this healthcare bill to be able to reduce premiums, and the GOP left them in. There is no way your premium is going down from what they've done. So why would they do that? They're not trying to solve a problem. They're creating a problem that will give them more power because you will turn to them and say, you've got to help me. Oh, they're helping you. But they're helping themselves first. No one is going to solve this problem. There is no white knight. There is no one that's going to come and save you. There's no Calvary. There's no SEAL Team 6 coming for you. There's no SWAT team. And let me tell you something. It's an un-American idea to hope for that. It goes against everything we are to hope for someone to ride in and save you. That's not what the American dream was. Anybody have any doubt that Elon Musk will go to Mars? I don't. And it may not be him, but it will come out of his work. We will put private people on Mars because of Elon Musk. Why? Because he's not waiting around for somebody else. The Enigma Machine. Great movie about, what's his name, over in England that broke the Enigma code. Turing. Great story. Except England and Turing had an Enigma machine. They knew what it was. The United States didn't have one. We didn't have the Enigma machine. England shared zero information with us on the Enigma machine. We just had two Americans who read the code and went, crap, this is hard. We solved it without the Enigma machine, without any information. We solved it in half the time. Why? Because we weren't waiting for somebody else to do it. George Washington Carver goes out. He's trying to put soil, put fertilizer back into his soil, trying to find some way to replenish the soil. He figures it out. Plant peanuts. Great. We plant peanuts. Now what the hell are we going to do with all these peanuts? He's walking at night in his field. And he says a voice said to him, basically, the answer is in your problem. What? My problem is peanuts. The answer is in your problem. He came up with 300 products in his problem. He solved. What is the one thing that if you're ever told, hey, you gotta, these people are really hungry, they're homeless, what is the most nutritious thing you can buy for them that people will eat that has all kinds of nutrients in it? Peanut butter. That was some man's problem. The Americans are faced with a problem, and somebody in the private sector fixes it. Someone finds a way around all of the no's, and they finally get to a yes. How many times was J.K. Rowling told no? How many times was Dr. Seuss told no? They were only told yes once. Only told once, this is trash. Nobody's going to read this. For years, I was told, you can't do talk radio. And I kind of know that I can't. And that's kind of the point. You can't do that. That won't work. I was on television. That's not going to work. It seemed to. Everybody's going to tell you no. Everybody's going to throw an obstacle. One thing that we have forgotten as Americans is endurance. Bring it on, world. Bring it on. We have to get to a place to where we almost look up at the sky shaking our fist. Is that the best you can do? He helps those who help themselves. Nobody's coming to save us, gang. Don't look for an answer in Washington. Look for it in yourself. Find the way to hack your world. And we can do that together. And together, we'll change the world. And you'll be more powerful than you can even imagine. Back in just a second, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Here's an idea. SimpliSafe. The guys who started SimpliSafe were either MIT or Harvard people. And they were going to school. One of them, the grandfather, invented a bunch of stuff for tanks and everything else in World War II, did some important inventing. And he always wanted to be like his grandfather. And he had that kind of tinkerer mind. Everybody in his neighborhood that he was all going to school with, they all had rental properties, all had apartments, and they didn't have any security systems in there because they weren't the owners of the place. And they were getting robbed. So this guy, he's going to school and he's like, I'll come up with something. And he just, you know, jimmy-rigged some stuff and he figured out a way to have a wireless system. And he was only giving it to his friends. And then some friend came over and they were like, that's fantastic. Can I buy one of those? Yeah, I'll make you one. It's going to cost you a couple hundred bucks. And he started making them and it took off. He hacked his life. He hacked his problems. And now look at SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is the best way to protect your home and have you so you don't have to worry about somebody breaking in, somebody having a party at your expense, taking your stuff or harming your family. SimpliSafeBeck.com, an entirely wireless system that you control your own security. And it's $14.95 a month for the monitoring. You're not going to get that price anywhere else. 24/7 monitoring, $14.99 a month, and no contract? SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The fusion of entertainment. And enlightenment. And enlightenment.
Because we are one.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Let me talk to Karen in California. Hello, Karen. Where do you live in California? Karen, are you there? We've lost Karen. That's what happens when you try to talk some common sense in California. They come to take you away. Karen, thanks so much for your call. Let's go to Kathy in Ohio. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
You know, I've been listening to this. I've listened to you for several years. But the last few months, I've been a little disappointed in you. You seem to, everything for a while, you were so negative about Donald Trump. Now I'm listening to you, and the message I'm getting is we have to work together. We have to come together, listen to each other. Glenn, these people have an agenda. We have compromised. The Republicans are guilty of compromising. That's all they have done. And just look what they're doing now.
Hey, hang on just a second. Have I talked to anybody today at all about politics? I'm not talking about politics at all.
No, okay, you mentioned about coming together and compromising. That's what I heard today.
Yeah, not about politics. Haven't talked about politics. In fact, the last monologue was no politician on either side will solve any of these problems. We have to come together. And in particular, I was talking about a woman that said, I no longer talk to my mother. And my question to you was, do you want to live that way? Or do we have to come together and realize that we may not agree on policies, but we have to live together?
And I do agree with that. However, you cannot talk to anybody, a liberal, because they treat us as an uneducated person. We are the ones that are uneducated. They have been so programmed, Glenn, that's all they believe. They haven't gotten the truth. They have listened to the media, and they don't make any sense. They say we don't make any sense. And another thing, we cannot afford, we don't have the privilege of losing hope. I understand that lady that called in, because I've been there myself. We don't have the privilege of giving up on this country. You talk to a veteran, talk to the the veterans that are still alive, you know, they never gave up. We can't afford to give up.
Kathy, thank you very much. I agree with that last point. More in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here. I want to pick up Kathy's conversation that we just had, and I really appreciate Kathy calling and having the guts to say the things that she said to me, and I'm glad that she called. Let me start. Let me start here. We all have a story that we tell ourselves. The problem with our country right now is we don't have a common story anymore. Our common story is the founding of our country and the Civil War and the civil rights and going to the moon and we can do anything and after the Second World War, how we had the Berlin airdrop and we helped people and we're the most charitable. That's our story. That's what we tell ourselves. And that story has been broken by another story. We're nothing but oppressors. We're oppressors that came and stole the land, killed people, never had any good intentions, enslaved a whole race of people. Even when we had the Civil War, there was no good guys. Even Abraham Lincoln was oppressor. We've only ever done anything for money. We're warmongers. We steal everything that we have. That's the story that now half of America is telling itself every day, and it is being reinforced every single day. And stories are really important. The story in the first half of my life was I'm a kid who nobody ever understood, and my mom was an alcoholic who committed suicide. My dad and mom got a divorce. Nobody understands me, and yet I have this talent, and I'm going to make it big, and I'll show everybody. That was my story, coupled with, in my 20s, my family suffers with depression and alcoholism. I'm going to kill myself in the end, and I'm going to be an alcoholic. And what happened? By the time I was 30, there I was. Because stories are powerful. When it comes to politics, who's better at telling stories? The left or the right? The story of my life that I tell myself now every day is the Jesus story. A guy who grew up with nothing, who taught people in 3 years of his life just to be honest with yourself, to be humble, to listen, to serve, to search for truth, that you're going to screw up, ask for forgiveness, live those principles, and die on those principles if you have to. So now that you know my story, That's what I try to base my life on. Look what happens. In the last election, I saw a guy running for president who I didn't think lived any of those principles. And that's the story that gets me up every morning. That's the story that I tell myself, that you don't even have to believe in redemption. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe any of it. I do. And it's the story that keeps me from drinking and keeps me from imploding. And I saw our country going towards a guy who I didn't think lived any of those. Now watch. Watch what happens. And so what happened? To try to stop people, because I had the, I'm certain that this is what's going to happen. I imposed, if I may speak to my friends in the left, the tyranny of certainty. And I stopped living my principles, mainly humility. Because I was certain, I didn't have to be humble. I know the truth. This will happen. So people say to me, Glenn, you got to stop apologizing. No, I don't. That's part of my story. If you make a mistake, as quickly as you discover it, go and ask forgiveness, try to make amends. And if they accept it, they accept it. If they don't, they don't. I've done my part. I behaved the exact opposite of my story, which caused cognitive dissonance in me. And if cognitive dissonance lives in me, I know myself well enough, I'll start drinking. Because I can't live that way as a split personality. I can't live two lives. I don't know how people compartmentalize their life. I cannot. Now we're telling ourselves another story. And what I heard in Kathy's phone call, and again, I appreciate it and I understand it. But what I heard in Kathy's phone call is exactly what she doesn't like in me and she doesn't like in the left, and that is the tyranny of certainty. How dare you tell me you're right? I'm working on that. It's really hard to do the job where the leader of the industry is on loan from God, and I'm supposed to have the answers to share those and remain humble. It's really hard. But you notice she said that the problem is they think they know the answers, and we're right. I think I've been right on a lot of stuff. And I have to just realize that my opinion is my opinion. But I also am wrong on a lot of stuff. I believe in eternal truth. I believe in truth from God. A lot of people don't believe that. Okay, then what's the other way of finding truth? Either scientifically proving it, doing a case study, and actually proving it in a laboratory, or when it comes to living, you have to have a case study. Well, I don't really want to experiment with people. So we have to go back and look at history and say, how did it turn out the last? There's no new story. How did this turn out the last time it happened? What did the people choose? Okay, let's stop doing that. Do you really believe that the politicians are going to solve healthcare? Does anybody really, in the sound of my voice, believe that they can solve healthcare? First of all, was healthcare better or worse before Obamacare? It sucked. It had its problems. It's like the United States of America. It is the best. It is the worst best country on the planet. They all suck, but we're the best. If you could show me a way to live, really show me a way to live, and say, Glenn, this here's proof. This is a better system. It makes people more free. It helps people be better. You're able to be yourself and be your better self. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I would surrender my citizenship today. I am not loyal to the flag. I am loyal to the idea of America, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain rights, and nobody can take those rights. My story that I tell myself is the greatest blessing of my life because it gives my troubles, I don't want to say suffering, but use that word perhaps in your life or in the life of others. It gives my pain, be it emotional or be it physical pain, meaning. No matter what has happened to me, no matter what the situation is, I can walk away from it and say, okay, what? Why did that happen? Instead of saying, I can't believe this person X, Y, and Z. I can't believe everything in my life sucks because. Everything in my life might suck right now. But what gives that suffering? What gives that trouble meaning? Are we even looking for that anymore? That's what I tried to say with Elon Musk or with George Washington Carver. Most of the great inventions of the world came from hardship. You think somebody would have invented the car if we all had flying carpets? No, we had an ox and a cart. We had to shovel the crap from behind them all the time. I mean, you want to talk about gases? Okay, live around some cows for a while. Plow your field with a cow or an ox or a horse. Not fun. So somebody invented a tractor. It's not like the fields were plowing themselves. You know what we should invent? Something that I can sit on and plow this field. There's meaning to what's happening in your life. And you can either grab it and figure it out and use it to make your life better. Or we can use it to be angry. We can use it to be depressed. We can use it to lose all hope and let somebody else fix it for us. Or we can do it ourselves. When I say let's come together, I don't mean with the extreme right or the extreme left. I have nothing in common with them. I really don't, besides my humanity. I don't have in common much in common or much to talk to with people who want to shut everyone else up. But I don't know when this country has ever decided we don't need two wings of our eagle, both the left and the right. I don't know when the eagle said, I can fly with just one wing. There's balance to that eagle. Just as much as there is, and I hate to say this, what an impressor I am, there's importance for a man and a woman. We don't speak the same language. Women, at times, drive me nuts. I'm sure I drive my wife and my daughters crazy. My son and I, we understand each other. It's the women. And the women, they understand each other. Two wings of an eagle. You need both. How stupid would it be for me to say, you know what we need? You know what would make this planet better? No women. And yet, there are women and progressive groups that say men are useless. It is a lie. It is a lie just as much as I don't need my liberal friends or they don't need their conservative friends. Together, we can fix this. Together, we will find our way out. But only if you have an honest, open, and willing mind and heart. Now this, the IMF lowered its forecast for the U.S. economy. How is it that Janet Yellen is saying our economy is so good that we need to raise interest rates twice since Donald Trump came in? gee, that is something that sounds like something I predicted maybe 8 years ago, that if a Republican got in, they would start to raise interest rates, which would begin to cripple the economy. She's saying that the economy is so good, but yet, hang on, the IMF lowered its forecast for the U.S. economy amid rising policy uncertainty. Ha! Huh. So what does it mean? Economic indicators in the stock market saying two very different things. So what does your gut say? Are we past this? I've read your emails. I've listened to you today, and I will continue to do it. But everybody's talking about the uncertainty of their job, the uncertainty of the economy, the uncertainty of healthcare costs. What's your gut say? Please, we're going to hope for the best. We're going to prepare for the worst. Because when you do, hope turns to certainty. I know we're going to be okay. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or call Goldline today. Go to their website, goldline.com. Read about all of the important information, and for as little as $2,500, you can get 3 months of price protection. $25,000, you get a full year. Just talking to Goldline yesterday, they called one of their clients and said, hey, by the way, you bought it over a year ago, price went down, we're going to make it up. Gave them $20,000 extra in gold. Are you kidding me? Nobody does that. Goldline does. 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to go to the, my Facebook page and post a couple more questions. I'd like to continue this conversation with you. How can I help? How can we better serve you? What would you like to learn together? Who would you like to hear us learn from or interview? And continue to be a voice that no one hears. And we hope to be able to amplify that voice. Pat and Stu back tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you here, same Beck time, same Beck channel, on most of this station.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.